Okay. Well, we've been going over the last week or so an overview of the feasts, right? That if you have that outline that we just talked about for the series. Last week, we kind of went over the purpose of the feasts, right? They were basically, as we saw, that they were rehearsals, correct? For what God would ultimately do in terms of fulfilling all that's been recorded concerning His Son at both His first and second comings. So we looked at briefly what the Sabbath was about, that first feast, and basically saw it was a picture of the millennial rest, right? The creation Sabbath that was. And then we did an overview of the spring feast and saw how the those feasts basically, in reference to Messiah's first coming as the Lamb, in reference to taking away sin, we saw that they fulfilled the death, his death for sin, the burial, and then the resurrection, right? And also in doing his disciples with power to bring forth that testimony of the resurrection, right? That basically covered Pentecost covered Passover through Pentecost, right? Four feasts. Well, today we're going to take a look at an overview of the fall feasts, and in actually doing the study, there's a lot there. And so what I want to do basically for this time is to kind of just set the stage in terms of time periods, okay, as to when things are going to fall out. And basically, as we said, the fall feasts are associated with what's going to happen at the second coming of Christ when he's revealed as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, right? Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 speaks of that. One of the key passages in the Old Testament that gives the layout or the time schedule, if you will, of when things are going to transpire in reference to the fulfilling of the times of the Gentiles and the ultimate bringing in of the Messiah's everlasting kingdom of righteousness is that section in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Let's turn over there. And it's that famous prophecy concerning the 70 weeks, right? So somebody has that passage. Why don't we just read that section and then talk about it. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Basically, this time reference that the Lord gives concerning the 70 weeks is a period of time extending from the commandment to go forth and build the city, right, until the actual establishment of the Messiah in that city reigning in an everlasting kingdom, correct? Now, this whole period of time, basically, is the Lord referred to it. If you look at Luke chapter 21, verse 24, go over there real quick, because I need to see something there. Luke 21, verse 24. You know, this is the Olivet Discourse that concerning things to come. Somebody read verse 24 in Luke chapter 21. Okay, so this period of time basically that is covered in that prophecy of the 70 weeks is what the Lord speaks of as the times of the Gentiles. Okay, and we'll notice one particular thing concerning the times of the Gentiles in verse 24. What does he say about Jerusalem? It'll be trodden on the foot of the Gentiles until those times are fulfilled, right? Ever since Nebuchadnezzar came in there and conquered Jerusalem, Jerusalem's basically been in foreign hands, okay? Even now, you know, even though Israel has control of it in the present day, the most important piece of real estate that's in that land is occupied by the shrine of the enemy of their faith, right? The Dome of the Rock, right? So, but they will not have total control and the Lord's presence totally restored until these times are fulfilled, he says. Okay? And that's what the 70-week prophecy is all about. You know, in Daniel chapter 9, it's very interesting. The chapter starts out where Daniel, he's basically a captive in Babylon, and he's praying to the Lord because he knows, he's read the book of Jeremiah, and he knows that the 70 weeks are just about to be expired. Okay, and he's praying and acknowledging the sins of what put them in that captivity, right? And the Lord honors him basically with giving him the whole time layout of what's going to happen and transpire until the second coming of Christ, until the Messiah actually returns. So that's a tremendous blessing that Daniel received. Okay, so now let's take a look at this prophecy a little more closely here. He says basically that the word weeks there, okay, the Hebrew word Shabuah, weeks, actually literally means seven. He's talking about 77s, okay? And the time denomination, okay, concerning the sevens is really a time denomination of years. I mean, it's kind of a Hebrew idiom that basically is used before. If you look at, for example, Daniel chapter 4, you see that same kind of phrase used. Daniel 4, verse 16. Concerning Nebuchadnezzar's time when he's going to go insane. He says, verse 16, let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let what? Seven times pass over him, right? Verse 23. Same chapter. It says, you see at the end of the verse, it says, again, seven times shall pass over him. Verse 25. Seven times shall pass over him, right? 32. What did it say there? Should be a reference to the saying, yeah, seven times shall pass over him again. Okay, so, and this is, of course, the time of 7 years where basically Nebuchadnezzar had the kingdom taken away from him, right? God's response to him setting up that image in chapter 3, right? He got this vision that Daniel gave him the vision in chapter 2 about him being, you know, the pinnacle, the, you know, the head of gold. Goes to his head, he builds this image, and then he gets humbled in chapter 4, okay? And so there's this period of 7 years where he gets the kingdom rent from him. Okay, but anyway, just to let you know that, okay, we're talking about years here, okay? This is the way that word Shabu is in terms of the denomination is 77s of years, okay? So how many years total is that? 490 years, right? Now, let's see how that 70 breaks down. In verse 25, returning back to Daniel 9, he says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to build the Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 sevens and 70 and 2 sevens. The street shall be built again in the world in the troublous times. So how many sevens pass from the time to build it, for the command to rebuild the city until the appearing of Messiah the Prince? 70 plus 70 and 2, right? Which is 70 plus what? 62 is how much?
69,
right? 69. Now, I think Sir Robert Anderson, one of his books called The Coming Prince, he actually has that calculated out to the exact day when he goes from the commandment to rebuild the city to the day that Christ rode on the donkey into Jerusalem, right, was exactly 483 years or 173,880 days. So right to the day. And if you, it's very interesting to go look at that passage in the Gospel accounts, Matthew 21, where he actually rides in to the city. And is there coming in as Israel's king, as the prince. Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5. Okay. Somebody want to go ahead and read that?
All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt full of an ass.
Okay, and verses 8 and 9.
And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and stopped them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Okay. That word Hosanna, by the way, is whether the Greek or the Hebrew, it means O save. Okay. They were looking for salvation, particularly from their enemies. Okay. And so they, and in that view, they hail him as what? The king. Right? Now, this, in verse 4, it says this was done that it might be fulfilled by the prophet. The prophet was Zechariah. If you go back to Zechariah chapter 9, you see the exact reference. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Somebody get that? They can read that.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just in having salvation, lowly and riding upon the ass and upon the colt.
Okay, and so in Matthew 21, that's the fulfillment, okay? He rides into the city under there, and he's proclaimed as the king. Okay, so from the command, the issue of the command to when Christ does that, 69 weeks, right? 483 years. Now let's return back to Daniel chapter 9 and see what happens after that. Daniel chapter 9, look at verse 26. Verse 26, it says, after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, in other words, killed, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, and then this king that does the destroying, it says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So you see that between the close of the 69th week and the opening of the 70th week, the most important event in history takes place, right? The crucifixion. Correct? So there's that gap, right? Of course, we now also know in that gap is also this whole dispensation of grace, right? Now, after the rapture, you know, some people are, you know, there is an understanding that as soon as the rapture happens, the 70th week opens up. I don't exactly share that view, and I'll tell you for one reason. It's back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 24. Somebody want to read that? Daniel 7, verse 24.
And 10 horns, and 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings.
Right. See, he's talking about the 10 kings that are going to be in the last days, right? Now, does the Antichrist arise before the coming of these 10 kings or after the coming of the 10 kings? What does the verse say? Yeah, I got glasses, but I see it says after, right. Okay. After the 10 kings, right? So he shows up after these 10 kings. Are the 10 kings there today? Do we know who they are? No. It's going to take time for these kings to show up, isn't it? Because this guy doesn't come on until after those kings are there, right? And he's the one that actually makes the covenant with Israel to start the final 70th week countdown, right? So there's going to be some setup time after the rapture for all the stuff to take place. So anyway, but the 70th week is future, okay? And sometime after the rapture, when all these things start to materialize, this 70th week opens up, okay? And now let's kind of zero in on that last week, okay? And see the time frame there. First of all, what is that period of time called? And take a look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. Of course, that whole 70th week, a whole book is devoted to it, isn't it? Called the Revelation, right? It's all about that period of time. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. What does it say?
I, John, who also have been your brother, in compassion and tribulation and in kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the island called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
He's their companion in what? Tribulation, right? And when is that period of time in verse 10? Keep reading there. The verse after?
I was in the spirit of the Lord's day, and I heard behind him a loud voice as of a trumpet.
Okay, so this John's actually a companion in tribulation in the Lord's day. That's the Lord's day is the same as the day of the Lord in Zechariah 12, 13, and 14 in particular. Okay, and you know, many people, they get like excited when they see an eyewitness to an historical event. Well, what do you do with someone who's an eyewitness to a future event that hasn't happened yet? But he's actually there, right? He's actually their companion. He's actually witnessing something that hasn't happened yet. He's been taken and transported into that period of time called the Day of the Lord. You know? Just as an interesting side note, another prophet in the Old Testament had the same thing happen to him. Take a look at Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 3. Ezekiel 8, verse 3, says, he put the form of an hand and took me by a lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy which provokes the jealousy. Here's a guy being lifted up by the lock of his hair and being transported again. And I think in Ezekiel 11, verse 24, if I'm not mistaken, it's actually transported to a future time. And Ezekiel 11, 24, it says, afterwards the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into what? Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So this captivity hadn't happened yet, but he's brought into the future by the Spirit to this period of time. Again, just like John was brought into the day of the Lord. Okay? So it's very interesting that not only has God given visions to prophesy, but he's actually transported his servants to future periods of time, and they are actually eyewitnesses of what's going on, just like John was. Okay? Anyway, so basically, this period of time is called the tribulation, okay? There's another reference in Revelation 7:14. He talks about them that come out of great tribulation. Now, this 70th seven, this period of 7 years, is divided into two equal portions, okay? Take a look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. And the reason why I want to go over these verses right now is because there's some kind of understanding, particularly that, about the Lord telling people they don't know his hour or day of when he's going to come back, and somehow that some days are lopped off or something, and he's actually coming before the end of it's not going to be that way, okay? He makes it very emphatically clear that this period of time stands on its own as it is, and he says it in three different time measurements that we can't miss it, okay? Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, what do you read?
I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth.
Okay, so this is the prophecy of the two witnesses, how many days? 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. Okay? Take a look at Revelation 12:6. That's the first part when the two witnesses are doing this thing. Revelation 12:6, you get to the second part. What does that say? We got Revelation 12, verse 6.
And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days.
Right. 1,260 days, Israel again gets miraculously provided for in the wilderness, just like she did when she came out of Egypt. That's the second part of the trip. Right? How about Revelation 11, verse 2? What does that say?
But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and they do not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under 42 months.
42 months. Again, that's a reference to the second part. So that's 3.5 years. Here, it's, rather than days, it's given in months, right? Same length of time. How about Revelation 13:5?
And there was given unto him a month, speaking great things and blasphemies, and the power was given to him to continue 42 months.
The Antichrist, second half of the trib, he's going to reign. He's going to reign for what? 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Okay. Now, how about Revelation 12:14?
And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and time and half a time.
Okay, and again, speaking of time, times, and half a time, that's the denomination of years. That's 3.5 years. Okay, same reference of time as the 1,260 days about this woman earlier. Okay, there's no getting around it. Okay, this period is divided into two equal parts. They will both last for that same amount of time, 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. Okay? That's how long the Lord says it will be, and that's how long it'll be. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 12. And Daniel is given a little bit more information in chapter 12 concerning the second half of this time slot, the second half of this period, actually called the Great Tribulation. Okay? And this has been the source of probably a lot of confusion concerning how the tribulation is laid out. Take a look at Daniel. Let's start out in Daniel chapter 12. Look at verse 1. What does it say?
And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book.
Okay, this is this period of time called the time of great trouble. It never was till or ever was till that time. This is exactly the same period of time that the Lord speaks about in Matthew 24, right? Turn there a minute. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Okay, so there he talks about a time of great tribulation. This is the great tribulation. This is the second half of the week where the Antichrist is reigning in power. He wears out the saints. Okay, a lot of people get beheaded during that period of time. And the thing is, and he will reign for 3.5 years. Okay? So, now, verse 22 has always been a little bit cause for throwing some people when it talks about the days being shortened. Now, some would use that to say that he actually shortens to 1260 days, like we said before. The Lord spells out those denominations in three different ways, days, months, and years. So he's not talking about actually shortening that time span. Okay, but if you look at the context of verse 22, it's obviously going to be a time of great terror. Okay, he says that if it were any longer, then what? No flesh would be saved, right? But for the sake of God's elect, God in mercy is only going to have it 3.5 years, okay? But 3.5 years is a relatively short time, right? So, okay, so moving on.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it's important to note, I think what's in view there, and I think some people miss this.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's without God's intervention, it would continue on. Because who's reigning at that time?
Nope.
The Antichrist.
The Antichrist.
So without God's intervention, you know, without him coming back, the Antichrist would what?
Continue reigning. Right.
Continue reigning. And that's what
he means. Yeah.
It's not necessarily that he has a preconceived time.
Right.
He could shorten it. But it's that he who reigns at that time would certainly continue his reign without God's intervention. God
right.
Come back and bring that reign to the Antichrist.
That's good. So it won't be longer than that. Right. Okay.
Another thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Since God knows all, he wouldn't have established a period and then said, oh, I've got to shorten it now.
Right.
To save people.
Right.
He knows all.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to shorten it because he miscalculated.
Right.
You know, it's just that was established.
Right. And that's why we went through those references. So you can see that we see it. But you know, the pastor's point is a very good point. I mean,
does this have the same connotation in say, the Hebrew? Because the way it sounds there, to be shortened, it sounds like it's being shortened from another length of time, period of time, is the way this is coming. That's why people read it like that.
Yeah, I think if you look at what the context there is, the idea is that if it would continue any longer, there would be no flesh saved, and it's according to what the pastor just you know, commented on, if the Lord didn't intervene by coming back, the Antichrist would continue and everybody would be destroyed. Okay? So,
I understand what you're saying, but the way people read this is it's being shortened from a longer period.
Yeah, well, but you have to take into account the context.
You did a good translation.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's fine. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But anyway, continuing on, what I want, you know, and now we're coming to what the pastor just said, basically, okay, because in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel is given a couple of more time spans that seem to go beyond the 1260 days, okay, of that last great tribulation. Take a look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. What does that say?
And from the time that the daily
sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days.
Okay, now, yeah, this is 1,290 days. There seem to be an extra 30 days here, doesn't there? In addition to the 1,260, right? The key is, now most people, when they read that, and then with the reference to the 1,335 days in the next verse, in verse 12, where it says, if you make it to the end of that, then you're good, okay? They seem to equate that as to an extra 75 days, and I think that that's not taken into account the context of how he describes the 1,290 days in verse 11. When does it start? It starts from the taking away of the daily sacrifice, right? If you recall, in the midst of the week that Daniel just spoke about in 9:27, he says that the that's when the Antichrist breaks the covenant, right? Sacrifices get taken away, middle of the week. But there's a whole lot of other things going on in the middle of the week that's going to take more than a day. Okay, you have, for example, you have the Antichrist himself being killed, right? And his body's going to be lying in the street for 3.5 days, right? No. Then he gets raised up, and then he kills the two witnesses, right? Also in the middle of the week, their bodies are lying there for 3 days. That's all, you already got a week over there, okay? Then you got the fact that he's going to set up this image to himself, right? And install it in the temple, which is going to take obviously some time. And then you're going to have the whole issue of people being branded with the mark of the beast. They're going to have the rest of that month. In other words, there's going to be a 30-day window between the two halves of the tribulation where all the stuff gets set up before the Antichrist reigns in power. Okay? He's going to get killed. He's going to get raised. The two witnesses are going to get killed. They're going to get raised. Image of the beast is going to be set up. You're going to be forced either to make a decision, either to take the mark or not take the mark, right? All that stuff's going to happen within that 30-day window, okay? And then the second half is going to run its course, okay? At that time, you're either going to be beheaded and martyred for your faith, or you're going to be one of those people that flee into the wilderness, and you're going to be hid by the Lord for the last 3.5 years while this reign of terror is going on. Okay? So you have 30 days, a 30-day midpoint, then you got the second half, the 1,260 days, right? And then there's another 45 days in verse 12. He says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. That 45-day period, okay, exactly fits the season of the four feasts. Okay? They will be fulfilled literally to the day. Okay? And take a look at it. We'll close with Matthew 24. I want to show you something there. And next week, we're going to see the layout of Israel's spiritual calendar concerning those 45 days. And we're also going to see how they will literally be fulfilled. Okay? I want you to take a look at three particular things in Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 31. Somebody read that.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other.
Okay. See, immediately after the tribulation of those days, now that's the great tribulation, right? of verses 21 and 22 in the same chapter. Okay, immediately after the tribulation, the Antichrist kingdom starts to break down. Okay, and there's going to be this 45-day period where things kind of start collapsing on them. Okay, the first thing that happens is that there's complete darkness. Okay, he says then comes the second coming, right? And then there's the gathering together of Israel into the land. Okay, and of course at the very end is going to be the resurrection, where Daniel is told that he will stand at the end of the days with his people. There'll be a resurrection at the 1335th day. Okay, so basically, next week we'll take a look at how the 45 days are laid out in Israel's spiritual calendar concerning the fall feast, and how these particular events that we just read in Matthew 24, 29, 31, where they get slotted in those 45 days. Okay? It's very interesting. It'll also answer a lot of questions, particularly the question about, like, you know, they won't know the day or the hour and all that kind of thing. It'll be exactly clear. Okay? So, something to look forward to next week. Anyway, so that's it for now.